we read in the heavenly doctrine, it has pleased the Lord to reveal the spiritual sense of the word to enable this church to enter into the real use and benefit of these sacraments, baptism and the Holy Supper. And this is done when men with the eyes of the Spirit, that is, with the understanding, see the holiness that is concealed within them and apply it to themselves by the means which the Lord has taught in His Word. Without some knowledge of the correspondence of natural things with spiritual things, it is impossible to know what the uses and benefits of the Holy Supper are. Without a revelation by means of the spiritual sense of the uses of these two sacraments, there would be nothing but scattered conjectures about them, like the conjectures of those who practice divination by the stars, or even of those who in old times drew auguries from entrails or the flight of birds. The uses of these two sacraments may be likened to a temple, which, by reason of its antiquity, has sunk into the ground and lies buried in the surrounding rubbish, even to the roof, over which old and young walk and ride in carriages or on horses, not knowing that such a temple is hidden beneath their feet, in which are altars of gold, walls inlaid with silver, and decorations of precious stones. And these treasures can be dug up and brought to light only by means of the spiritual sense, which is now disclosed for the new church for use in worship of the Lord. From a knowledge of correspondences, it may be known what is meant by the Lord's flesh and blood, also that bread and wine have a similar meaning, namely, that the Lord's flesh and the bread mean the divine good of His love, and also all the good of charity. And the Lord's blood and the wine mean the divine truth of His wisdom, also all the truth of faith. And eating means appropriation, or making them one's own. Angels explained, the truth is that the man who looks to the Lord and performs repentance is conjoined with the Lord by means of that most holy sacrament and is introduced into heaven. This is a mystery, but still such that it can be understood. The bread and wine do not produce this effect, for there is nothing holy in them, but material bread and heavenly bread correspond mutually to each other, and so do material wine and heavenly wine. And heavenly bread is the holy of love, and heavenly wine is the holy of faith. Both are from the Lord, and both are the Lord. By these there is a conjunction of the Lord with man and of man with the Lord, not with the bread and wine, but with the love and faith of the man who had done the work of repentance. And conjunction with the Lord is also introduction into heaven. The question, therefore, is, how should repentance be done? And the reply is, actually. That is to say, one must examine himself, recognize and acknowledge his sins, pray to the Lord, and begin a new life. Without examination, repentance is not possible. But of what use is examination except that one may recognize his sins? And why should he recognize his sins except that he may acknowledge that they are in him? And of what use are these three things except that man may confess his sins before the Lord, pray for help, and then begin a new life, which is the goal that is sought? This is actual repentance. That this is how one ought to proceed and what must be done, everyone may know from the Holy Supper, for all are forewarned that before they can worthily approach it, they must repent of their sins, turn God, and enter upon a new life. And still further, from the Decalogue, or Catechism, which is in the hands of all Christians, where in six of the commandments, nothing is commanded but that they should not do what is evil. And unless evils are removed by repentance, man cannot love his neighbor, still less God, And yet on these two commandments hang the law and the prophets, that is the word, consequently salvation. If at recurring seasons there is actual repentance, as often, for instance, as a man prepares for the communion of the Holy Supper, and if he afterward abstains from one or another sin which he then discovers in himself, this is enough to initiate him into the actuality of repentance. And when he is in that, he is on the way to heaven, for he then, from being natural, begins to be spiritual and to be born anew from the Lord. Therefore, we read, the first of charity is to put away evils, and the second is to do goods that are of use to the neighbor. And how do we do goods that are of use to the neighbor? We read, charity itself is acting justly and faithfully in the office, business, and employment in which a man is engaged, and with those with whom he has any dealings. Charity itself is acting justly and faithfully in the office, business, and employment in which a man is engaged, because all that such a man does is of use to society, and use is good. And good, in a sense abstracted from person, is the neighbor. This is charity itself, because charity may be defined as doing good to the neighbor daily and continually, not only to the neighbor individually, but also to the neighbor collectively. And this can be done only through what is good and just in the office, business, and employment in which a man is engaged, and with those with whom he has any dealings. For this is one's daily work, and when he is not doing it, it still occupies his mind continually, and he has it in thought and intention. The man who thus practices charity becomes more and more charity in form, for justice and faithfulness form his mind, and the practice of these forms his body. And because of his form, he gradually comes to will and think only such things as pertain to charity. Such at length come to be like those of whom it is said in the word that they have the law written on their hearts. And they do not place merit in their works, because they do not think of merit, but of duty, that it becomes a citizen so to act. But a man can by no means of himself act from spiritual justice and faithfulness. For every man inherits from his parents a disposition to do what is good and just for the sake of himself in the world. But no man inherits a disposition to do it for the sake of what is good and just. Consequently, only he who worships the Lord and acts from him when acting from himself attains to spiritual charity and becomes imbued with it by the practice of it. Here is the use and benefit of the Holy Supper, to help us worship the Lord so that we may act from him in acting as from ourselves. The Lord will guide us in the work of repentance, so that we may be set free from evils and enter into the love and practice of uses. He offers us justice and faithfulness to eat and drink spiritually, so that his law may be written on our hearts and we may be conjoined with him. Concluding, we read what the Lord hopes for each of us. And after the angels had taught them something concerning correspondence and its effect, some of the company said, "Now for the first time we understand." And when they said, "We understand," behold, a flame with light descending from heaven consociated them with the angels, and they loved one another. Amen.